Good morning, church. Good morning. It's been an amazing beginning of the year. We have seen so much as far as the Word of God, the storylines, right? The storytelling. I love it. Every Sunday, I look forward to what Pastor Rob has to preach about. And I want to start with this. There are those characters in the Bible that captivate you. They make you wonder what it would be like if you were in their shoes. Let's take Joshua, a young man watching a great leader, Moses, the great instrument of God's for God's glory. As Joshua watches Egypt come to ruins, he sets out with thousands of people to the wilderness, to the desert. And my question is why? Many of us will conclude because God wanted to take his people to the promised land. Remember that the Lord said to Abram, back then Abram, in Genesis 12:7, says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give you this land.'" In Genesis 17:8, "And I will give you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." It's amazing. In Egypt, Israel had stripes on their backs. They had labor all their lives for someone else's inheritance. Their children were put to death. They lived in the slums. They ate leftovers. They wore leftovers. And when they came out of Egypt in the Exodus, they constantly said, "Let's go back to Egypt because it's better there than this desert." It took one encounter, the burning bush, for Moses to have the courage and urgency to take God's people to Mount Sinai because he wanted them to meet who he met, God. The Lord did not only want freedom for his people, he wanted much more for them. He wanted to have a relationship with them. Listen, in Exodus 19:4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So many verses speaking about how God wanted to have a relationship with his people, with his nation, with his children. So this theme about communion between the Lord and his creation is mentioned throughout the Bible. As we look at today's scripture, We will be reminded that as Joshua leads Israel and conquers Canaan, he has seen the Lord keep his promises time after time after time in a profound personal way. God doesn't only want you to be free of an eternal condemnation, but he wants you to have a direct relationship with him. As Joshua declares, not one word had failed. Joshua has seen and experienced this to be true. We're going to turn to our Bibles in Joshua 21. If you don't have it with you, we will have it on the screen, like always. And if I can ask you to stand up, please, in reverence to the Word of God. Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45. And it says like this. "Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." Let's pray this morning. Lord, as we come to you with a humble heart, we just ask you to lead us, Lord. We just ask you to teach us. We just ask you to speak to us. We just ask you to lead the path where we need to walk, Lord. I just ask you to be with us in whatever we do today, in whatever we hear today, not only to be able to hear and say, "Oh, that sounds good," but to be able to act on it, Lord, in faith. And also know that we have a long journey still ahead of us, that we have to share the gospel, that we have to share what you have done in our lives, the way you have changed our lives to others, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So at this time, whenever Joshua has said this, they had walked through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. They had fought great battles and seen the hand of God at work as they started fighting in conquering Canaan. You know, you guys know that. The Lord provided everything for them, food, shelter, and clothes. They had seen the great walls of Jericho come stumbling down. We even have a song for that. Not only did the Lord say what he was going to do, but he also did exactly what he promised to do. Give them a land flowing with milk and honey, which brings me to my first point. Every good promise from the Lord will always be his provision to you. And I'll repeat it again. Every good promise from the Lord will be his provision to you. Many years before Joshua 21:43 came to be, we saw Genesis 12:17. The promise to Abraham, to your offspring, I will give you this land. We can also see in Exodus 3:17, when the Lord tells Moses, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Israel is here. They have conquered at this time in Joshua 21. All it took was faith. And I will repeat it again. All it took was faith. This victory was upon the condition of Israel believing that it was possible. Unfortunately, their forefathers didn't believe so. God's promise was sure and certain, and it continues to be certain in our days today. There's an incredible similarity, and this is where my heart will open to you guys. There's an incredible similarity about what we live today from what happened to Joshua in Israel at that specific moment when they recognized the faithfulness of the Lord's promise. Listen to Matthew 28:19-20, which most of us know by heart. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. We have the similarities. Listen to this. We ourselves are brought out of a very dark place, which is sin, to have the opportunity to walk in righteousness and freedom, to have a relationship with our Savior. That regeneration of the Holy Spirit that works in our lives, it's amazing. Then we are commanded to conquer this world with the gospel. We are commanded to conquer this world with the gospel. Why does this sound so familiar with what happened in Joshua's time? Because it takes faith, brothers and sisters. It takes faith. There is no difference between the promise to Moses and Joshua and the promise to us as a church. Listen to what the Lord is telling to Moses in Exodus 3:12. I will be with you. Sounds familiar? The Lord provided everything his people needed time after time after time. The greatest promise that Israel had was the Lord's presence in their lives. Listen to Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That very same statement since today, we have everything we need nowadays to conquer the world with the gospel. There are times whenever we have to take the step of faith, and it takes faith and the commitment to believe that the Lord will provide and will always provide. Remember that. We have to believe that he will provide. The word provision by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary means the state of being prepared beforehand. You wouldn't go on a long driving trip without gas, right? You will put gas in your gas tank. Also, you wouldn't go on a hiking trip without certain provisions, right? From the Exodus to the point of the book of where we are in Joshua and beyond that course, and beyond, of course, God wanted Israel to rely on him on the basis of faith. For Israel to trust the Lord whenever he said, I will provide, Israel had nothing to lose by trusting the Lord. And as a church, I believe that we can say the same, what it says in Joshua 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We are equipped to share our faith because the Lord will always provide what we need. He provided in the desert after the Exodus. He provided in the battles of Canaan. The Lord has provided before, and he will provide in our days and in our future. When Joshua mentions on verse 43, they settled. I love this part. Whenever Joshua mentions on verse 43, they settled, it means that they found a place of rest. And to me, whenever I hear this, whenever I listen to this, that they find a place of rest, it reminds me of the world we live in today. Many people don't have peace in their lives. Many of us right now at this moment don't have peace in our lives. So God provided not only provisions for them to be able to conquer Canaan and to be able to be successful there, but he also provides rest, peace. And that's something that many of us need nowadays. My next point will remind us of the great gift we have from the Lord, that it doesn't matter what is ahead of us, we can rely on him and his for his provision, but also rely on him for rest. Every good promise from the Lord will always bring you rest. That's my second point. Every good promise from the Lord will always bring you rest. We can strive to become better. We can take self-help courses. We can do as much as human beings as possible, but there will always be a limit. There will always be a limit. Secular psychology has tried to help. Politics has tried to help. This world has tried to help in its own way. We try to find answers for the dilemma of sin in our own way of thinking, and yet we can't find the rest that we need for our souls. When Joshua 21:44 says, and the Lord gave them rest, it didn't mean that he gave them pillows or a time to sit on the recliner and do nothing. Not at all. It doesn't mean that. What Joshua is trying to help us see is, yes, we will have troubles in this world. We will encounter obstacles. We will have battles. We will encounter what may seem to be as defeat. We will encounter pain, and we will even encounter pain of loss, losing someone we love. But above all, one truth remains. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That is self-explanatory. And that, my friends, is what Joshua was able to understand. He knew the task wasn't finished. There were still places in Canaan that needed to be explored and conquered. Israel had experienced something unique, that whenever they had faith in the Lord, they would find rest. Would you allow me to ask you a few questions? And these are questions that I need to ask you in order for you to see where Joshua stands at this point. I love these questions because I ask them to myself too. Do you feel tired? Maybe burning that goes beyond physical fatigue? Do you feel like you're losing more than you're winning? There are times whenever I feel like that, myself. But then I remember the part of Psalms, or the first part of Psalms 46:10 that says, be still and know that I am God. Joshua understood the concept of rest. And that's where we need to focus on today. Listen to what he says on verse 44. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Imagine with me for a moment about Israel. They were able to settle into their territory, not in captivity anymore. They were able to farm and eat their fruit, have livestock. After a 40-year long journey, the battle's won, they could say, I can rest. It took them about 7 years to conquer Canaan. Rest is not only the physical part of it, but also a reflection that Joshua wants us to see. Look back and see all the promises of God. Everything that he promised, everything that he has said, to every period of the word, it has been accomplished. It has been done. It has been fulfilled. So Joshua wants to praise him because he has provided. Joshua wants to praise him because he is given rest. And Joshua wants to praise him, praise the Lord, because he has given him victory. He has given Israel victory, which of course is my third point. Every good promise from the Lord will always bring victory to you. Every good promise of the Lord will always bring victory to you. Look at this building around you. I'm going to ask you a favor. Just look at the building around you, please. Just look at the pillars. Look at the lights. Look at the windows. Just look at this building right here. It's really interesting to me that in order for us to be able to construct a building like this, we have to have blueprints, right? I mean, some of you guys are in construction. You guys know what I'm talking about. And it just takes a plant in order for us to be able to see something this beautiful. It takes a plan. It takes a blueprint. It takes something for us to be able to see and refer to because of the engineering, because of the colors, because of everything. Everything comes together and it looks beautiful. There's one thing that I love about this, especially what Joshua has been through, especially what Joshua has gone through, is that whenever God promises the things that he said to the forefathers, to Moses, to Abraham, everything that he promised, Israel could rely and go back to those promises because it became the blueprint for them to conquer Canaan. It was specific, and it was to the point where they could understand what they had to do, exactly what they had to do in order to conquer Canaan. On chapter 21, we see how each tribe obtained their inheritance, how cities were being distributed, and at any given point, Israel had the opportunity to review the instructions of the Lord in order to accomplish this conquest. Why? Because the Lord was specific. Listen to Joshua 1, 2, and 3. God commands, now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, you and all of this people into the land that I am giving you to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. And time after time after time, the Lord was specific. Why can we say that Israel had victory over their enemies? because of the beautiful phrases, or the beautiful phrase on verse 45, all came to pass. All came to pass. These last four words are the words of encouragement for you and for me. Our God is a God who fulfills His promise. Our God is a God who fulfills His promise. When we put our faith in God's promises, we will have victory after victory. Whenever we put our faith in God's promises, we will have victory after victory. Allow me to go a little, just a step farther. One phrase of victory stands out in history. Just one phrase declared the great love of the Father on the cross at Calvary. Just one phrase. Listen to what John 19:30 says. When Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." It is finished. And He bowed, He said, and gave up the spirit. It is finished. I love the British evangelist whenever he says this in his book. In the light of the cross, is it not true that the enemy has no right to dwell in the land? Is it not true that Satan's claim to your life was taken from him at Calvary? Is it not true that sin has no right to a foothold in the life of a child of God? Is it not true that Satan has no power in the presence of the omnipotence? Is it not true, by virtue of His blood and His resurrection, Jesus Christ is pledged to destroy the enemy utterly? Is it not true in the wilderness? I'm sorry, is it not true? Is it not true in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit? There is a strength for every temptation, grace for every trial, power to overcome every difficulty. In order for Israel to have these three gifts, we see in Joshua 21, 43, and 45, the promise of provision, the promise of rest, and the promise of victory. They had to completely surrender themselves in faith to His authority, to His lordship. Some of the tribes believed and showed great steps of faith, but some didn't believe and suffered. But some didn't believe in suffering consequences later as they started opening doors to the enemy that was close by. You see, the cross was an instrument of punishment that the Romans used to punish criminals. Christ, being on that cross and saying His last words, "It is finished," we can come to a conclusion. That as Joshua said too, all came to pass. We can and will find what we need in every promise of God, especially rest for our souls in Him. I'm going to ask you something today, and I want you to reflect what we have seen so far. Three promises: His provision to you, also rest, and the relationship He wants to have with you. Christ Himself has died on the cross to give you rest, to give you eternal peace, to save you from an upcoming condemnation that is coming to all the people that ain't believe in Him. As my brothers come to the stage to uh, to have our worship song. If I can ask that the worship team to come up front, please. I'm going to make an invitation to you guys. I know we have a meeting also tonight, right? The membership meeting tonight. And it's an amazing thing to know that we as a church, we can continue doing the work of the Lord. But I want to have this invitation to you today. What are you struggling with? Is there something you need to confess? Or maybe the biggest question is, have you ever surrendered your life to Christ? Why not today? Honestly, tomorrow is not promised. We know that. But you're here today. Surrender your life to Christ today, and I promise you that He will provide. I promise you that He will give you rest, and I promise you that He will give you victory. How does that sound to you? And like anything else, it is your decision to make. Come to Him. He is waiting for you. We have the care team around in this building. There's someone close to you for you to go and talk to. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. Going to someone for prayer is not a sign of weakness. Going to someone to ask for help is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign that you want to make things right before God. It is a sign that you want to have that relationship with Him. And I encourage you, go to someone and talk to them. They're waiting for you. May the Lord bless you. And remember this, you are not alone. You will never be alone. God bless you guys.